When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'll do a 15-second one.
It is the Blue Room. It is your instant reaction to Everton 0, Manchester United 3. I've got Matt Lusk, Keith Tomlin, and Mark Mosey with me at the moment. More might be, I think Dave Downing might be joining us soon. But Mark Mosey, it is your turn to do the 30-second summary. Go.
Lots of pretense to this match, and then the sudden realisation, and an ongoing one for 94 minutes that Everton are bad at football. You know, we've obviously been totally undone by one of the greatest goals that planet Earth has ever seen. But I think, you know, if a ground could go flat in 90 seconds, then Everton certainly managed to make it even flatter for 90 minutes that followed it. Simply not good enough. It ironically warranted and was reflective of a team that probably sits on 4 points going into Christmas. A lot of work to do against a very mediocre Manchester United side, and sadly another reminder that if ever there was a team that are failing in some way or under pressure or have players out or injuries, suspensions, etc., there is no better ailments than a trip to Goodison Park, because we'll make everyone feel better about themselves.
There we go. I feel like the lads who are with me as well over the Moors are maybe not feeling quite as downbeat about that. Marty, have you plunged those levels of despair after that game?
Yeah, I'm not massively downbeat. I mean, it just felt like one of them days. Like, they had three sniffs at goal and they've got three goals. I literally don't think Jordan Pickford made a save, which probably kind of damns him when he doesn't really deserve it. But it's just, we didn't take our chances in the first half. We built up a bit of a head of steam and then half-time came. But on the whole, we can have no real complaints. We might have had a game plan there, but after 3 minutes, as you say, probably goal of the season already. I don't think anyone's going to top it for any club. And after 3 minutes, that's it. That's the whole game plan out the window. Unfortunately, no one told Sean Dyche, and it took until, 70-odd minutes to make a substitution, when every single person in that ground and probably half the players on the pitch could see it wasn't working at all with Ashley Young. It's just silly booking again, and then no complaints at all about the penalty. I think
it was a shocking decision by the referee not to give it.
Well, yeah.
The only complaint I had about the penalty was how frustratingly long it took for the obvious thing to happen.
Did you know straight away? Oh, it's right by you.
It looked like an absolute stone wall there. And as soon as he got his card out for Martial, you just thought, you might as well just jog over to that monitor now, mate. a practice which in modern day football simply has to stop. If the decision has been made that the referee needs to go over and see it again in HD, then the decision should just be overturned.
It's a technicality, isn't it? Like, it's the referee who has to make the decision. So,
yeah.
But it's insane. He did us a favour, to be honest, the referee, because if he'd just given it on the spot, probably would have sent off Young for second yellow. So he's not allowed to give a second yellow when he's reviewed.
I'm not going
to
say it. So
I was going to say that the funny thing about the penalty, I thought, was obviously the referee seeing it as a dive in the first place. The look on the fella's face from the park end, it was just praying that someone in his ear wasn't going to say, "You should probably come and have a look at this, mate." And then the jog over to the monitor to watch it a few times, trying to find any way possible not to give a penalty.
He's the monitor, isn't he? He was like, "Oh, how can I not give this?"
There was a few bad decisions in the game, but I did have a little bit of sympathy for him in that situation, because he was trying everything he could do to not give a penalty. But yeah, you know, everything about the Man United victory was justified. And I think that was the most disappointing thing for me today, in that, you know, coming into that game, I thought it had all the feelings of we're building up to one of those really good performances and you know, a historic victory against a Manchester United side. And, you know, Matt said it was just one of those days. There's a name for those days now, and it's home games.
Yeah.
We're just simply not good enough. We've nearly got more points at home this season than points in total, and I don't quite know how we've managed that. Barring really bad Burnley side, we are the worst team in the Premier League at home, and you know, there are obvious other challenges here, but if we are going to survive in the Premier League, the home form simply has to pick up, because we will not keep going to London and winning games. It is not very Everton, and you know, it will stop at some point, and you know, things will have to turn around at Goodison Park. And my God, if this is the last full season at Goodison Park, not only do I not want to get relegated, but I don't want to see us get tongued here and put lacklustre performances in every single week. Do something at least a little bit memorable that I'll remember.
I'm going to disagree with Moz on that one. I don't think we've been overly terrible at home, with the exception of moments in games. So obviously, the defending of set pieces against Luton was an aberration. Fulham, we should have won that game. We made far more chances. We were a better side, and then we got caught out. Wolves, we were a better side, made far more chances, got caught out. Brighton, we should have won, but for a defensive lap.
Are you on the brink of quoting Everton's XG? Because we're going to have a big chat if that happens.
I don't believe in XG. I think it's witchcraft.
Mathematical soul.
So, yeah, I don't believe in XG in the slightest. I think it's witchcraft. I think its proponents should be burned at the stake. Sorry, Green Mick. I love the tactical analysis he does, but I've got no time for XG. You don't get points for it, so fuck it off. What I will say is I don't think it's been as doom and gloom. Arsenal, we were terrible. Let's not be about the bush. Other than that, they've been competitive in every home game this season until tonight. And
we have just said we're 7 home games into the season and we were shit in 4 of them and got caught out in 3 of them.
I mean, I've said we were shit in 2, and well, 3 after tonight.
He's missing loads of clear cut chances. Shit.
I mean, it's not great, but it's not terrible because they're making chances. And if you look back to this time last season, Everton were having maybe 2 shots on goal a game.
Yeah.
So it's progress. What you have to factor in here is you take out that 10-point deduction, right? Sorry, we've got some
Matt Flusk fans on the show.
Matt Flusk's fan club are in tonight. So it wasn't an offer. Bloody hell, this is... I can't work under these circumstances. I'm going back to my trailer until this gets sorted out. Right.
That sounds like a direct quote from Sean Dyche.
So, what I'm going to say is, if you say the deduction doesn't happen, Everton are sat there on 14 points mid-table, we're still not a very good football team, right? We have to have things go our way to get results, as they did at Palace, as they did... at Brentford, as they didn't happen tonight. That first goal's a killer. It takes away all of the positive build-up, all of the puppies of localised conflict. It removes that from the equation. Everything goes a bit flat. United have a lot of the ball. They pass it around the back a bit. And I don't think we really started pressing them until about 20 minutes in. And as soon as we did, you got results. They were kicking it out for throw-ins. We were winning corners. We were forward. We were on the front foot. And arguably, for that first half, we were a better side than United. They had that one shot on goal that is, as Mo said, possibly the best goal that a human being will ever score in the game of association football. And at half-time, things were looking positive. Second half, I'm not going to speak on the second half because I'm pretending it didn't happen for my own welfare. So I'll let Matt have a whack at the second half here.
Well, I'm going to bring David as well, who's just joined us. But like, I'm always like really intrigued, David, like where the threshold is between like we played well but we're unlucky today, and when you go from there to we actually missed loads of really good chances, and that is actually really poor for a football team.
I don't think I've decided to play well.
No, do you know what? It's really interesting that I think you've got 5 lads sitting here and each one of us would have a different idea of how that worked. You're certainly one of them, because I'm pretty sure you'd say, not putting words in your mouth, that was alright, we played well.
No, we didn't say that.
I'm sorry. Just assuming you're far too much because I'm knowing you're a song. don't know what you're celebrating some scores on the win. No, but what I mean is, in the context of that game, it's so hard for any of us to take away those 10 points. Impossible to take them away. And you look at, like, what did he score in 7 minutes? That little
three
shit.
Three minutes.
And he shinned it as well. Shit goal.
Did he shin it?
Yeah, I absolutely shinned it.
I don't know if he shinned it.
Mate, watch it. It's the ringer of Rooney against City. Those
years. They always shin them.
You can't not. You can't score Moses plays. Everyone has a game here.
Yeah. Mercy plays. Like, you do that every week. Oh, yeah, I've scored that goal before.
But I'm on about when you go for that effort, that technique to overhead it, it's got to go in like with top spin, hasn't it? You can only hit it that way if you shin it. Watch it back loads. Yeah. Everyone will anyway. Sky were wanking over it. Everywhere tonight on Match of the Day, will.
Dave, how good do you have to be to score a goal like that with your shin?
What? No, but what spot on. What was spot on was what Gary Neville said was spot on there. It's most difficult enough to get your legs up that high to actually do it. That's why the lad deserves any praise that it gets, but
I reckon you get an 8 out of 10 just for even thinking about it.
I mean, it's great that we're having 2 minutes arguing whether he shinned it or not when we've gone and got beat 3-0 there.
Talk about it, isn't it? Go on, that's the pedantic voice.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in between, Matt, despite the fact that I presumed what you were going to say, which it actually didn't, but I felt that some players are more than up for it than others for us. You look at the chances we created there. If Calvert-Lewin scores one of those headers, the first one he should, puts it straight into the keeper's hands. The second one he heads it over, doesn't he? It's one of those.
The core, he misses the one for me.
Yeah, well, you know, that's an example of a player who was crap for me. I thought he was abysmal tonight. And what did you say when we were doing our show on a Monday last week? He's one of those players that can look outstanding for you, and someone else just looks like he's only started playing footy. That was the exact type of thing I saw. I was well into what you were saying the other week about Garner. Didn't see much of him at all. Didn't see what we needed to see from him. James Garner, sorry, yeah. It was so much of a mixed mash in the middle that I can't get fully into saying we were unlucky there. Any unlucky in the chances, but to lose the game, take away the context of what it is and who we were playing, our home, atmosphere, all that. Dare to say it, I couldn't say that United didn't deserve to win it.
I can't say United overly deserved to win it because they weren't brilliant. But Everton didn't deserve anything from that game.
Not by three, I'll add to that. Not by three.
No, that was never a 3-0 game. That was sort of...
But it kind of affected, like, that goal at the start was the winning goal, wasn't it? Like, that would have felt right, wouldn't it, for the way the game went?
Yeah. We had that... do you remember the scramble in the first half where we had about three shots in the space of 30 seconds? Soon as they cleared that last one off the line, you sort of knew that we could have played all night there and not scored. But we get, like, we're creating them chances, but it does take a bit of quality to get them in at times, and that's what Everton were lacking tonight. I mean, the Doucouré chance, the Garner Gay chance, where he's lashed it into the back of the park end. There's a ridiculous save as well from Onana, from Garner Gay second half, just after we've gone 2-0 down.
I've already made the most of that.
Yeah,
that's a Hollywood save, that.
But it's still...
The best save was the header.
Still going in the top corner.
That was the better save when he caught the header.
I thought his best save actually tonight was the one low down as part of that scramble earlier on, where he got down well to his left, because it was a snap reaction save. I mean, he's made a mistake in pretty much every single game he's played for Man United, and he was pretty flawless tonight. What's that all about?
Didn't put him under any pressure.
Can we have him drug tested?
Do you know what they're like? This is going to sound mad because they scored after 90 seconds, but I was so disappointed with us before they scored that first goal. And it's mad to say, but like, I'd have to go back and watch it again, but like in the ground it felt like Onana had two or three times like on the ball where like, and like the crowd was up and mad, but like it was feral. It was feral, wasn't it? It was like everyone was like up and ready to go. I was like, right, you know, boot the anthem, everyone's got the placards out, banners out, like let's fly into these completely. And their goalie had the ball for 10 seconds at his feet and we were just stood off him, and then they passed it to that 18-year-old lad who was making his debut in midfield, and he just got it and turned, and it was like, Fair play to the lad. He was absolutely brilliant on his Premier League debut.
Was that his debut?
He was absolutely fantastic. But how is he allowed to put his foot on the ball a minute into the game at Goodison in those circumstances? Like it shouldn't be a lot. Like,
I'll tell you why you've
got it.
No, I'm doing Onana.
Well, no, because he wouldn't be in that position, would he? Like getting up and pressing him, like. And I don't know, maybe there's a bit of like, right, we're all up for this, but like calm down a bit and keep your shape and do all that. But it just felt like in those first 10 minutes, like, right, ride this wave of emotion and like an anger and just get after these. Instead we just kind of stood off and like Keith said, it was only when we started pressing them, probably after like 20 minutes, we had our best spell of the game where Onana kicked it out of play like 2 or 3 times. The crowd was up and we got a foothold in the game from there. Apart from that, like the first night, and it's mad to say, but like even go, I remember the Brighton game, we didn't touch the ball for 2 minutes when they kicked off. It was very, very similar game. Like they just knocked it around. It's like, what are we doing here? And it just felt like today is like, if you're going to go in and you're going to ride that wave of emotion, just press everybody up. Don't let Onana kick it out short to anybody. If you've got to put Calvert-Lewin and Decore on the two centre backs and your midfielder on Mainoo, and just play man for man for the first 10 minutes, just do it, because the crowd will love it and feed off it, and we just stood off them a little bit.
The point that I think Matt was alluding to there is that we've almost gone too far the other way, haven't we, in terms of, you know, obviously there's a lot of narrative coming into the game, but let's all kind of ground ourselves and let's try and play the football match for what it is. And sometimes, you know, when you're Everton against Man United in particular, you have got to kind of ride that emotive wave, haven't you, and try and get something out of the game from a pure anger point of view, which we had. You know, that was probably the most disappointing element today, wasn't it? And that, you know, the thing that we've all been looking forward to for 10 days since the Premier League's announcement was obviously flat for one reason, 90 seconds into the game when that happens, but there was no real sense that Everton were going to channel any of what we'd pent up for over a week. That ultimately probably comes from your manager. He sets the team out in terms of how he wants to play that particular game. You know, we'd have all bought into what you've just described there in terms of playing very high on the back line. I talk about how poor Everton individuals are, and there was too many to name tonight, in my opinion, but when you've got someone like Onana and Harry Maguire as part of a back three, if you want to call it that, playing the ball around.
I'm sure, he's not played for months as well.
I think that, you know, the point I was going to come to later is that, you know, Shaw was one of them, but also Man United's other fullback. They are just given absolutely nothing to think about. And in Dwight McNeil, and in particular Jack Harrison, they are almost in a contest with each other to give the opposing fullback the easiest day possible. Jack Harrison had a great game at Aston Villa in the Carabao Cup when he first came in, and since then, other than, you know, one particularly good strike against Bournemouth, I can't think of anything that he's done to warrant even possibly thinking about keeping him beyond the end of the season. And between him and Dan Juma, I think there's a side comp to see who can look the most on loan player, because the pair of them, yeah, I think Dan Juma just about nicked it by just fucking the ball up in the air with about 30 seconds left. It is cataclysmically bad.
You were still there with that.
Yeah, I ran for the train. I think that's what I was looking for, Everton to ask questions. I wanted in particular individuals of the United backline to be under pressure early on, because we've all seen them. We've all seen how quickly they can fold. And it looked as though we were giving them that kind of 25 minutes spell of affordability just to kind of let them settle in before we actually thought about putting them in under any particular danger. And it could all be different, obviously, if we finish our chances. But these footballers play for Everton. If they finished all of these chances, they simply wouldn't. So there has to be a slight affordability to that fact. But we just don't do enough. I can't really watch Everton, and I incorporate the Crystal Palace game into this. I don't really know what the plan is in terms of how we win games, and it feels as though positive things happen to this team by chance. It absolutely is, and you know, you can look at that big picture in terms of getting up the league or winning particular games. But if you scale that right back in terms of just every possession that we have, it looks as though we're just kind of throwing things together to get 30 or 40 yards up the pitch. And you could probably apply that to about 8 or 9 teams in the league. I'm not saying that Everton are the only ones, and luckily, in my opinion, there's 3 that are probably worse than us at doing that, and that's hopefully why we'll survive. But it does look as though the whole element of game plan is not there. And you know, games like that, even though he wasn't at his best tonight, it does just fill me with dread for the days where Dominic Calvert-Lewin is not fit to play football, because if we are to lose him, and albeit we've not seen his best by any means tonight, but if you take Dominic Calvert-Lewin out of that side, there is no capability in terms of going forward or scoring a goal. And you know, sadly, he's not the most reliable footballer in the world. And one of my only angst tonight is that it took as long as it did to hook him off, because as soon as the penalty goes in, you could have justifiably taken him off and said, Notts Forest is way more important than this consolation goal we might score.
Yeah, I think it become like, you know, when you're a lad there, it looked like the erection that was never going to come along. Do you know what I mean?
These only come out at night games.
The Blue Room sponsored by Blue Pills here.
By Durex. Anyway.
What's that new man? Is
I think what Mo's was saying. What I've just said inappropriately compared to what Mo said was spot on there in that fullback area. And I just wonder what Sean Dyche is saying. Certainly wouldn't be saying what I've just said after it, but what would he be saying when he gets them back in there, when you've got Mykolenko, who's been really good for us recently, hasn't he? I think they put more to that with the goals that he scored. Ashley Young, consistent problem. That last time I actually said that on social media.
It's times when that.
Yeah, I got pelters for that. And at first I thought that Martial dived, because he normally does. I think even Gary Neville said that. He's often known for diving. That penalty to get given, I don't know if you guys have seen it again yet, but it was like Martial knocked the ball like several seconds before he decides to put his foot out.
Interesting. The lazy leg film, and Nutty called it. Yeah. It's the Ashley Young special. Yeah. It's the Ashley Young lazy leg.
Exactly. That's what he did in the derby to get sent off.
I've never seen an experienced player do less experienced player things.
Yeah.
Like, he gets booked early all the time. He makes mad decisions. He used the ball is all. Like, that sounds like the first off, he just kicked it out to play or like played somebody else into trouble. It's like, he looks very much like a 38-year-old winger playing right back now.
And like, all those like John Eitinger vibes where you think you're going to sign this really like esteemed European footballer, and he comes in and he's an absolute clown.
Crying over John Carew. I just think as well, there were a lot of things that just look like pretty obvious they're going to happen there. I'm not talking about on the pitch, I'm talking about off it. Put Seamus on the bench, Seamus Coleman's not going to come on. We're all desperate for him to get back in there ahead of Ashley Young. But there was a lot of things that were, they were too far already in everybody's minds. When you go and watch that, like Mo's mentioned there, he was bang on what he said in terms of like, and yourself, how you feel about this game, how everybody's getting up for it. It only takes one tiny thing to happen in the game, i.e. their goal, or i.e. their keeper being able to stand with the ball as long as he wants, for everybody to just say, oh, I'll sit off for a bit now, do you know what I mean? And they've got to do it to you rather than us go to them. And that's been an issue for Everton at Goodison for a long time. Other thing that got me thinking almost immediately when he went 2-0 up was, and it's one of the questions we've done all week on the Blue Room, is where'd you go to from here? Because where we went to here, it was pretty easy and straightforward. We've got deducted those points. It's classic Everton back against the wall feeling. That's what the mentality we use for all that stuff. That would have been great. I didn't see much of it today. I don't want to criticise people at the game, but that didn't feel to me like Everton were fighting to stay in the Premier League, which unfortunately looks like it's going to be what we're going
to
be doing.
It's hard to go there when it's November, though, isn't it? Like, I don't want to go to those depths
I understand your point, and that's what people probably get at me at, but you look at that fixture list we've got. You look at now 5 points above, 5 points away from safety. As much as the narrative's been, let's kick off about the 3 promoted sides and they're all shit and we'll get 40 points between them all. Now it's, I'm probably too soon to say, and I think what you've just said, Matt, is bang on, but I'm looking at things. You know, you're going to Forest away, your next home games in Newcastle, Chelsea, Man City, in what, about 5 games in 20 days or whatever it is that it does. I want to see what Sean Dyche is renowned for, and that is this sort of shit like he got for Burnley, but managed to get them a snide 1-0. You know, keeping a clean sheet and all that. how far away do we look like keeping a clean sheet? And that is where the blocks of this needs to start, because obviously we're not great at scoring goals. You've spoken about a player who should have bagged two there in Calvert-Lewin. Having him back's been great, but even when he scores one goal or two goals a game, you're not guaranteed to get a win as Everton, because defensively we're not the side we need to be to get out of this shit.
I'm struggling to add anything there to what Dave just said. It's all just completely bang on. Yeah, it's kind of crept up on us, hasn't it? The defensive
just
stuff.
Got your Christmas present there, mate, because no one ever says that about me.
we were kind of, as fans, maybe a bit complacent in the early games of the season, thinking like, oh yeah, defensively, Sean Dyche team and that. But yeah, it has slipped in now, hasn't it? The last few games, letting in just a couple of unlucky goals, but just a couple of like obviously the Tarkowski one when it goes over his head the other week.
Lampard there, unlucky goal, fluke goal, jammy goal.
No, but there's been a couple.
Definitely Shin the first one.
There's been a couple. No, that's just a very good goal. You've got to Shin those ones, but yeah, we've had a couple of unlucky ones, but then we've also had ones just like that should never ever happen. And I haven't looked at the actual numbers, but we've got to be getting on now for the last four games, talking about what, maybe 6-7 conceded.
Clean sheet at West Ham, didn't we? Two last week,
2-3,
one against Brighton.
So it's
you say we don't score goals, and we're not looking like scoring goals. We scored 3 at Palace, we scored 2 at Sheffield United, we scored 3 at Brentford, 3 at home at Bournemouth. The team has, yeah, 1-3-1. The team has got
6 months ago.
The team has goals in them. 2 away at Villa in the cup. There are goals there. It's just a case of composure and taking the chances, and they didn't do it tonight.
And getting someone other than Mikhailenko to score them.
I mean, you look at the fixtures that are coming up, and there is a lot of doom and gloom in there. You think obviously Newcastle are on very good form at the moment. They're a good side. I'm loath to say it because I don't want to give them any credit, but they are a good football team. You've got City just after Christmas. Other than that, you've got very beatable teams in that run. Like, Chelsea are not this all-conquering, invincible side that they were. Spurs away is not a guaranteed defeat because, obviously, one, they'll be defending on the halfway line, so you just play your fastest strikers. And two, it's in London, so that's...
Better.
Dan Juma's quick, is he not? I mean, he's crap, but he's quick.
City and Chelsea will be down by the time we play them as well, which is fortunate.
Who's our quickest player?
We've got Burnley as well.
Jackie Elka.
Jared Branthwaite. Have you seen how rapid he is with them legs? It's ridiculous. Like a gazelle loping across the Serengeti. I'm not getting overly concerned by tonight. I think it's certainly a negative on what could easily have been a positive. And yes, we have to address that. But before the deduction, we were a mid-table side. This Everton, they're not a great side, but they're a mid-table side.
Well, we were 14th in the league for the deduction, 14th, 15th. My worry is, like, I'm sort of like just trying to calculate this on the way home, is like, we've been like, I think we're probably about the 14th, 15th best team in this league. And to stay up, we're probably going to have to be about the 10th for the last two thirds of the season. Like, that's, we have to like get that kind of form going.
The thing is, right, we are now sat, we're 5 points behind Luton, right? We're still ahead of Burnley, and we're, what, 2 points behind Sheffield United, right? We've played how many games this season now? 13. So, 25 games left. You don't back this team to get 5 more points than Luton, 2 more points than Sheffield United across 25 games. We might as well knock it on the head, because they are terrible football sides. Mm-hmm. We will pick up a lot of points this season, and we'll pick up points in situations where we probably shouldn't, like away to teams like West Ham, away to teams like Brentford. We'll win games like that. We'll pick up draws against better sides. because there is a fight and there is a determination about the side. And I can't get into this, we're doomed, we're gone mentality again, because doing that for a third straight year will just, like, I'll take a long walk off a short plank.
Now, what you said there about looking at us, obviously with the caveat, 10 points in that mid-table, we're probably, even going into this game as fans, and hopefully not as a squad, but maybe they just didn't give United enough credit, because they're on, what, 24 points now, is it?
I don't give them any credit.
No, but, like, realistically, they're like, what, 6 points off the top, maybe, or five? Like, they're up there. So that's probably a bit of a par result against a lower mid-table side.
Yeah.
Even at their own grounds. So
is Martial's contract up at the end of the season? I really hope it is.
Do you know
You've
what?
Been after him for years. I'd sign him
and lash him in the reserves.
He would score against them if he couldn't play against Everton.
Just lash him in the reserves so he doesn't score against us next season.
What good management to start him today, though? Like, you got to give him
a choice, did he, really? All the strikers were injured apart from him.
I don't know, I don't watch football, but...
We didn't even bring him on today, and I'm sure he still skinned Seamus Coleman at one point.
Who's this?
Martial.
In the warm-up 20 minutes.
Do we, it was Beto, by the way.
He took a crunch on the knee in training. A crunch on the knee.
Who did that? Beto. It's got to be Ben Godfrey who did that.
Have you seen Beto?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ben Godfrey's gone through him at thigh high.
Probably Michael Keane bringing him his bib and he slipped over.
Do we want to get a little bit technical here on defending?
I mean,
Is this the forum for technical chat? Sean Dyche, he's spoken about it at length, this defending the V thing that he does, where he drags the fullback, so if the ball's coming down the left wing, or...
I mean, where is our V in that case? Is it like...
So, the opposite...
Quack.
The fly... What a film that is, by the way.
RV is taken off and fucked off, clearly.
Stick Goldberg in goal, we'll win the league. The fact that he drags the far side fullback in as an extra centre-half to protect this area means that we are so susceptible to a cross-field pass. And that's exactly how the first goal comes about, because Mikulenko is 50 yards away from where Rashford is hugging the touchline. It's not his fault. He's been told to do it, right? But it results in Rashford having time to bring the ball down, get his head up, pick that little pass into
Dalot,
who then gets a cross away, right? It's happened. I've seen this happen in pretty much every game we've played at home this season. We're susceptible to that cross-field pass. And is it, like, is that something that Sean Dyche needs to visit and say, right, okay, so if the fullback's tucking in, the winger should be dropping in at fullback to make a back five?
Well, I don't think Harrison is that player, so I need to drop in and make like a...
No, but Mikulenko's side, you've got Dwight McNeil, who we know is quite good defensively. Should we be stressing the importance of, if they've got the ball high up the pitch on one side of the pitch and the fullback's tucked in, the winger then comes in as an auxiliary fullback, and then you put the seeded...
This is the man who was railing against XG about 20 minutes ago. Now he's giving it the auxiliary fullback.
Inverted wing-back formation.
You put the seeded doubt in the mind. I am harking back to my extensive experience.
Shame this isn't on YouTube, because Keith's got his tactics board out here and drawing out with markers and everything. Yeah,
this is Keith Tomlin masterclass here. Right, get me on Sky Sports in a dark room on a bar stool, and I will chat to you about auxiliary fullbacks all night. Is it like?
He's still going.
Is this something that would prevent a lot of chances that we're conceding?
I think that speaks to him not being confident about the fullbacks one-on-one with good wingers. You feel like you've got to press everybody over to that side to stop it, and then you might lose ground in the middle or on the opposite flank. Like, I just can't, I don't know. Like, that first goal,
I don't want to pick the birds out of it too much, because it's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's like
I don't want to take away from it, because it's a very good goal.
Jammy.
Even though Dave reckons he shinned it.
I'm telling you, right? It's
jammy. It's a very good goal. It's a world-class goal, right? I don't want to take away. But it's preventable if you stop the pass to Rashford. If you've got a man within 10 yards of Rashford, they don't play that ball. No. They have to then recycle through the middle. And that's where your V is protected.
I think that kid's fabulous fuck because he missed it that. I'm telling you.
The far more basic point I'd make about fullbacks is that if Nathan Patterson is not the answer now, then we might as well all just move on, and him being the main one.
Seems like he's despised, doesn't it? Yeah, genuinely.
If we're talking about either Ashley Young or, you know, love him as we might, even shit someone like Seamus Coleman coming back into the side ahead of him, then that move simply has not worked.
Even Coleman up today, I was like, he looks knackered. Warming up on the sidelines, like, he looks,
which is fine. We all know the reason why he's still at the club and involved in the 18 or 23 or however many your matchday squad is now. But it's time for Nathan Patterson to recognise that there's a weakness in that side. It is Ashley Young, and to capitalise on it. And if he doesn't get that opportunity, or if he doesn't take that opportunity in the next 6 to 10 games, then his Everton career might as well just be flushed down the toilet.
Right,
I'd say 13 point deduction now, is it? Not just 10.
Why 13?
Because Luton won.
Well, I think I put on Twitter, based on our second half, we need 20 back to stay up today. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Cheers to Matt, Dave, Keith, and Mark. We'll leave it. Yeah, just heads everywhere after that.
Just leave it.
Yeah, have a good night. Protect the V up the top of each.
Sports Social Podcast Network.